Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. This week's guest is a veterinary student, you guys, who's a fourth-year veterinary student at Tufts University, and his name is Harris Fitzgerald. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. To our listeners, your name might be a little familiar to us because you had one of the highest trending articles over the past several months about, you know, going from, you know, learning in the classroom to learning virtual. You gave everyone some great tips on how to adapt. Share us a little bit about that article.
Thank you. Yeah, so I wrote it just kind of, I wanted to put my perspective. So Danny had written, Dr. Danny Sack had written an article about what it was like to be a fourth year in clinics, about to be ending clinics, you know, during the start of this pandemic. And I was like, it was a really awesome article. And it gave really cool insight. I was like, I kind of want to show the other end, which is what I was seeing at the time I was finishing my third year. And it was like going into clinics with this whole pandemic. So it was kind of, you know, just a whole different perspective that I wasn't really seeing being talked about, because, you know, only a very niche group could talk about it. Everyone, you know, all vets and vet students alike could understand kind of the idea of clinics and what is going on in clinics, but no one really understood the specific things that we were going through, because this is all like a novel, you know, thing. So I want to like share my perspective. And yeah, I'm glad that, you know, you all took it, and I'm glad that it was very well received.
Yeah, it really was, because, you know, you shared some insight about, you know, like self-reflection. It's a time to, well, you have some time, and maybe finding something that was, you know, newer to you and everything. What were some things that maybe you did that you could share?
Well, I guess that's a really good question. Something that I did was I started to really take advantage of using, and you know, I kind of referenced this about getting closer to clinicians, because this really gave us an avenue of having more clinician interaction than one, at least towards my understanding, generally has on clinics, because we, you know, had this allotted time where we were just face to face on a Zoom link or whatever, instead of, you know, in clinics working with patients and clients and such. So it really helped kind of get them to know who you were. You know, so I got like some recommendation letters out of that, which is really nice. You know, and I really took advantage of networking. It was a different type of networking, but definitely like emailing and stuff like that. So it kind of let me get more creative.
And I agree. I think, you know, the networking has been so immersive over the past several months. I mean, just especially with Instagram and making and building new relationships. Although, you know, like you and I, for instance, I haven't physically seen you, but I just feel like I know you just from interacting with you and sharing your experiences. And I see that a lot with the Instagram family in our profession, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I think that really did, if there's one good thing that came out of something like this, is that we got closer with our community, with veterinarians and the vet students together.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I see all these different trends, like, oh, what are you up to today? And there'll be vet students tagging doctors, tagging vet students, tagging pre-vet students, you know, and it's to see all the camaraderie going on, for sure. Yeah.
So tell me about rotations. What are you on? What have you taken? What's it like?
So so far I've taken the community medicine rotation. Was my first rotation, which is a doozy to go through first, because you are like the doctor on the cases. Like the clinicians are there supervising, you know, and the interns are there like helping you out, but you're the one that's really running the show and talking to the clients and deciding what you're going to do and how you're going to treat and, you know, coming up with an estimate that really needs to be followed because, you know, there's a very limited financial situation that's going on with these clients. And so that's definitely a big doozy to jump into. And I had that and it was amazing. I had this one case that I followed through for several different things going on, including I started on as the appointment doctor, student doctor with this case. And then the next week I was on surgery and I actually was able to do a surgery for this patient. So it was really cool follow-up. And, you know, I really got comfortable going over estimates, explaining to the owner, like, this is what's going on. This is why we want to do this thing. So that was an awesome rotation. I had diagnostic imaging, which is really cool. It was really helpful to really get better comfortable with like positioning, you know, getting more familiar with the strangeness of ultrasounds, you know. So yeah, it looks a little less like spaghetti and like actual things in there, but you know, right, still, yeah, sometimes looks a little spaghetti like. And then I had ambulatory rotation, which I was nervous about because I don't have any farm animal experience, I don't have any large animal experience, I don't have any horse experience, and it was awesome. It was really cool. You know, I spent a lot of the day rectaling cows, checking for pregnancies because the doctor I was with did a lot of dairy farm management. But then the other week I was riding with the doctor who works with a lot of pet horses. And so that was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed hanging out with the horses, even though I don't have any experience with them. You know, I kind of view them as like giant cats. Like I love cats, but they take a little understanding of their, you know, expressions. that was a lot of fun too. So it's been a lot of fun. And then I did an externship back at home in an ER. So that was cool. Yeah. And then I'm currently on a week of vacation. So that's been about where I've gotten through.
Wow. Look at all the things that you've just mentioned. Right. And this is what I love about this profession because you didn't have the experience with dairy cattle or beef cattle, but you got that experience and you never know where your career is going to take you in 5-10 years on the road. But it's great that you had those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's been really cool. Lots of variety for sure.
So if I was in your shoes, I remember very well, like this is like the calm before the storm. I remember the Navlies coming. Oh my
God. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So what are some things what are the trends that vet students are doing to prepare for it?
From what I've gathered from my research and intel, a lot of people do websites, Zooku or vet prep. Okay. So a lot of that, and then I guess just some practice tests. The ICVA, I believe that's the group that kind of organizes the Navli, they actually, because of this whole situation, gave us a free practice exam. So that's really nice, you know, because it lets us kind of really practice probably earlier than we had anticipated practicing, so that we could, you know, better determine where our strengths and weaknesses are. But I've been setting aside like an hour every day to do Zooku is what I personally have done. It's really nice. They have a calendar. And so I've just been following that and it's been helpful, but clinics has also really been helpful. It really helps me remember stuff, which sounds very cliche, but
obviously clinics is what you ultimately want to achieve because it really brings everything together, ties it all in. It makes sense. This is like, this is what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, some capacity, you know? So that's awesome.
Yeah. But there have been a lot of days on clinics where it's like, gosh, I feel like I've been in school for 3 years. I know that I'm supposed to know this, but I don't remember this, you know? And like, sometimes I find myself like literally having to tell myself, well, there's a reason that we do clinics for a year. It's because they expect that we don't remember everything and that we're supposed to be learning this. So you know. Well,
and that's what attributes to that imposter syndrome that we all feel too, you know. It's a real deal. And I think what our profession has really stepped up and adapted to very quickly was mentorship right away, because we know, you know, and by way I'm saying the ones that have been seasoned, such as myself, out for several years, we know that you guys are going to need us to rely on basic things, you know?
Right.
And that's what, that's another great thing about this profession is that no one will say no to you about not showing you something, you know?
Yeah.
So like, if it's like something from a cat neuter to a pyometra to whatever, like we will guide you through that, you
right.
know?
Right.
So we do have listeners too, Harris, that are pre-vet that really want to get into vet school.
Yeah.
So what are some tips or tricks or anything, suggestions that you would give them to help them get into vet school?
Yeah. So I like to tell people a lot, because this is kind of what I lived by, was that, you really want to do stuff, extracurriculars, that you really are genuinely interested in. You know, you don't want to necessarily focus on just padding your resume, because I think people can read through that and that won't necessarily result in the best outcome. For example, like I volunteered for, so I'm from the DC area. And so I volunteered for 2 summers at the National Zoo, which was cool. But I realized that I didn't want to do zoo medicine. You know, I mean, I hadn't really considered it, but it definitely made it like, I really don't want to do this. And in my interview, they, you know, the school saw that and my interviewers were like, oh, that's really cool. What'd you think? And I was like, I did not enjoy it. It, you know, it's not for me. And they really liked that response because, you know, it let me see a more realistic side of this is what I like and this is what I don't like, you know, but I didn't do it necessarily because I wanted to pad my resume or I thought it looked better. You know, I did it because I was interested and I was given the opportunity from someone that I know that, you know, like, oh, I have a connection. Let's see if this works out. But like, I didn't have any large animal experience and I was worried that, you know, it was going to affect me, in a bad way about not having a lot of experience at a large animal practice. I mean, I only had 2 small animal hospitals under my belt. One of the, place that my family would take our dog, and then 2 of the doctors started their own practice. And so I moved over with them to their practice. So I didn't have much in terms of number of places, you know, under my belt, but I definitely had a lot of quality with them and they really got to know me and I really got familiar. So my interviewers would ask like, oh, what's your favorite thing about this? And I, you know, could say it from a genuine perspective instead of kind of, you know, a constructed perspective that I personally feel like people would be able to see through. If that
makes
sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like authenticity is really what, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you think that your clinical experience for pre-vet is just as important or if not more important than say your grades and GPA and GREs or SATs? SATs.
Right. So I think it's probably just as important. I mean, if I remember correctly, it's been a few years, but grades kind of, you know, there is a window that they really want to fit or at least above, but just because you don't have that doesn't mean that you're discounted, especially if you work for a clinic that really knows you and they write you like an awesome letter of recommendation. Like one of the doctors, it's like this kid, you know, really tries hard and they're super invested and they show up early even though they don't need to and they ask all the right questions and I think they're going to be awesome. All the clients love talking to them or whatever, you know. I think that could definitely outweigh some not so stellar parts that you may have. But also everyone has not stellar parts of their application. No one has a perfect application. So I think clinical experience was very helpful. Also just once you're in school, clinical experience was very helpful because I would learn something, be like, oh, I've seen this in the clinic. This is why they're doing that. Or, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense because I've seen the result of this medication they used. That makes so much sense of why it works, you know, stuff like that. So it helps to get in, obviously, but also helps one to, in a, like a studying kind of perspective.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And so cut to say 2-3 years in the future, where are we going to see Dr. Harris Fitzgerald? Where is he going to be?
That's a great question. Current Harris is not entirely sure. So when I first started school, I was like, I'm gonna do GP. I mean, it was really the only experience I had other than the zoo. And I love GP, you know, I love getting to know the client, getting to know the patient. And then, you know, when the patient comes time for them to pass on and then the family, you know, finds a new fur baby and brings them, you know, you start that cycle all over again, but you still get to know the family and you know, you really get close to them. So I love GP. But I started externing at different places and seeing certain specialties. And I was like, oh, this is really cool too. And you still get that experience of getting to know like a family, especially for the type of specialties that have more chronic issues like medicine or dermatology or, you know, something like that. And so I really do want to do an internship now after school, especially after all this going on where, you know, our hands-on experience isn't as robust as it was before COVID, which inherently that's what's going to happen with this situation. So I definitely do want to do an internship just to keep the idea of specialty open. Should I land in that position and be given an opportunity? But so that's my 1 year out. So then who knows what's going on after
Well, that's even better because, I mean, yeah, you'll get really good solid skills and, you know, network and who knows where you're going to go. But just knowing you, I mean, you're going to be a rock star no matter what you do, you know. I'm so proud of actually, you know, watching your journey through social media. The things that you're doing is just incredible. Like, our profession needs you in it. So,
no, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, where can we find you on Instagram if anybody had any questions?
I'm always happy to answer questions. I mean, I was always asking questions, so I am very happy. I got in trouble once in third grade for asking too many questions, actually. I had a parent-teacher conference about it.
But wait, are you that one guy in the class, though? Before we do, like, get up for class, are you going to be like, wait, I have one more question?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I was. I have learned not to be that kid anymore. Plus, you can kind of use it as a way for the, like, teacher or something to get to know you better, because then you can go up after class and be like, oh, I have this question, and then you start a conversation and they get to know you. But that was me. But the complaints weren't coming from the students, it's coming from the teacher. She's like, he has too many questions. And it's like, what? Whatever. Anyway, so I'm always happy to answer questions. My Instagram is Harris T Fitz, FITZ, because my last name is very hard to spell. but I am very happy to answer questions all the time. And
excellent. I know you are. And those of you that are listening, you definitely need to check him out on Instagram, because he has helped so many vet students out around the world, and then pre-vet students. He does Instagram lives, and so he's a lot of fun, you guys. So you got to get to know Harris Fitzgerald, everybody. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to the Vet Blast podcast, and we will chat with you guys next week. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.